Chapter 2. Partnering with Business. I've never placed a political campaign sign in my yard. Not that I'm uninterested in who gets elected to public office. That's clearly important to me. But going public with my political biases would be likely to alienate about half the supporters of my nonprofit, Focused Community Strategies. It's better for business, I have found, to keep my political opinions to myself, to talk out of both sides of my mouth when necessary, and to keep my mouth shut when in doubt. Some might call me spineless. I prefer diplomatic. I can usually see both sides of an issue, and when I can find common ground between differing opinions, I do my best to steer the conversation toward mutual understanding. When that doesn't work, I try to offer a conciliatory comment and then change the subject. There is one subject, though, that I have always been very straight about: caring for the poor. This is a conviction. There may be disagreement about how best to do this caring, but compassionate and just treatment of the poor is non-negotiable. It is a divine mandate, and I will go to the mat over this one. Because I have been politically elusive, my Democratic friends often pigeonhole me as a Republican with a big heart. My Republican friends peg me as a Democrat opposed to entitlements. Both camps consider me an anomaly. That's probably good for keeping diverse friends and satisfied supporters. But after 40-plus years of living and serving among the poor, I have witnessed nearly every expression of care that good people have visited upon the less fortunate. From feeding the homeless, to counseling pregnant girls to keep their babies, to patching widows' roofs, to advocating for addicts who need treatment. I have done all of these, and hundreds more acts of kindness. And I have been joined by countless others whose hearts compel them to help those in need. Sometimes our service has made a difference. Sometimes we have inflicted unintentional harm. One thing I am quite sure of, however, is that it's much safer being a supportive listener than being an eager helper. And another thing I've learned, when you do for others what they have the capacity to do for themselves, you are likely doing them a disservice. After 4 decades of service, the romance is gone. I am left with an unvarnished view of the realities of urban poverty. But the divine calling imposed upon me to become a neighbor to the poor has never been lifted. And because my commitment and voice and heart remain on the side of the poor, my Democratic friends want to embrace me as a fellow liberal, although one with a few right-wing tendencies. And because I have seen the destructive effects of subsidizing poverty and opposed dependency-producing entitlements, I am accepted by Republican friends as a fellow conservative, although one with a bleeding heart. Ever since I came out of the closet with toxic charity, however, I fear that maintaining this delicate balance is beginning to be perceived as a list to the starboard or tilt to the right. But all I'm doing is paying attention to what actually moves people out of poverty. I've begun to publicly declare that the only thing that will enable the poor to emerge from poverty is a decent job. And the primary creators of decent jobs are business people who believe deeply in the free enterprise system. For-profits and not-for-profits represent two fundamental divisions of our economy: wealth creation and wealth transfer. Business is the wealth creator. The rest of the economy operates on the transfer of that wealth. I began to realize how strange it was that business...